Thank you for tuning into this week's episode. I wanted to talk about financial independence and money. I know money is so weird to talk about. I feel like I would almost be more comfortable talking about blowjobs at work more than money. Some of you may hear this and think, money? Ugh. Or my significant other has that covered. This doesn't apply to me. Or maybe you're like me, and when people mention stocks and bonds and all these very financial specific words, my brain like melts, like it can't absorb any of the information. But I don't think this will be boring. For some of you, I think this may be a bit triggering, actually. People don't typically view money as a psychological thing or an emotional thing, but anyone who hasn't had money, I think, can tell you it very much is. So as a warning, I'll be talking about financial stress and a little bit about financial abuse. If this is something you think will put you in a weird mood, please skip this. I don't want to ruin anyone's day before they even get to work. But I feel like talking about money might help someone create a starting point or begin to think about creating a starting point. In this episode, I will explain a little bit about my background with money in hopes it resonates with some of you, and to hopefully just try and help normalize not having a lot of money and suggestions or experiences I had in getting more money, and also how to get out of a tricky situation if you do not have an income. Kind of a spoiler to all this, or maybe more of a disclaimer, I am not an expert in money and still very much on a financial well-being journey. Some of the things I suggest are debatable and personal preference. Unfortunately, there is no get-rich-quick scheme. Everything I'm going to suggest or mention that I did requires some amount of time and work and effort and planning. Just want to throw that out there now in case you're thinking I have some secret trick to all money problems being solved in the next month. I can tell you how much I wish I did, but I don't. But I hope listening to this prompts you or inspires you to think about money or make a plan and then work towards that plan. I know that people get so uncomfortable talking about money, and I really do think that keeps people kind of stuck. If you don't know what others are making, what careers you can make more money in, what other companies are offering, you're more inclined to accept what you get and don't get upset. I particularly wanted to talk about finances with this specific crowd because 85% of this audience identifies as women, and I think most are mothers. And during the pandemic, I think something that really stood out to me is how many women stopped working due to having to homeschool or provide childcare to the kids. Pre-pandemic, women were more likely to choose jobs with more flexibility, stay home when the kids are sick, or leave the workforce to take care of children compared to men, resulting in wage gaps. Women make up about 47% of the U.S. workforce, but 51% of the overall population. Childcare and social support is a leading cause to that figure. Then the pandemic hit and women left the workforce in droves. In September 2020 alone, 800,000 women dropped out of the workforce versus 100,000 men. I took this quote from the Women on Top book because I thought it summarized it nicely. Quote, "In many families, the lowest wage earning spouse chose to voluntarily resign to care for their at-home children or other family members. Many women found juggling business responsibilities with homeschooling, childcare, and elder care simply wasn't worth the effort or the income to justify staying in the job. Long periods of unemployment can make it harder to find jobs due to the negative stigma some employers associate with gaps in employment. Upon finding a job, these workers may not earn as much as they once did." End quote. Another interesting figure that I felt like I could see in my own life was high earning women were going to lower earning jobs. So in my real life, I saw nurses who were moving to like less labor intensive jobs, or school nursing for the flexibility. Or I had a friend who took a pay cut to take on a work from home job. And I had friends start businesses while laid off and then just never returned to their 9-to-5, which is amazing, but they did have to take a pay cut. And this does not just affect women, this affects everyone. Not only will household incomes go up for households with a woman living there, economics are warning that failing to get women back to work would have detrimental effects on the broader economy. Every 10% increase in women working is associated with a 5% increase in wages for all workers as overall labor force productivity increases. That was done by a University of Akron, or Akron. And equalizing employment across gender would have added almost $500 billion to U.S. GDP in 2019, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. As many as 1 in 4 corporate women have said they are considering downshifting their careers or leaving the workforce altogether, according to surveys done by the consulting firms Deloitte and McKinsey. Deloitte also found that nearly 3 in 5 women plan to leave their employers in 2 years or less, and they cited a lack of work-life balance as their top reason for wanting out. Work from home has honestly been the biggest game changer of my life. Not only did it cut a lot of expenses like gas and food, it increased my time at home, and I'm able to actually skip out on childcare because of it. Before working remote, I was paying $800 a month for someone to come to the house a couple days a week and fill the gap between my husband leaving for work and me driving, getting home. Now I work at home during the day and my husband works at night, but I don't have that commute anymore, so that I don't need a babysitter to cover any gaps. Recently, my husband unexpectedly lost his job at the hospital he worked at. It caught on fire and closed. Everyone was safe, but I went into a panic. I was crying, thinking, oh man, how are we going to pay for our home and everything coming up the next month? I had the most expensive vacation I've ever taken in my entire life, weeks away. I instantly started working on minimizing my bills, got rid of the house cleaner, first world probs, got rid of subscriptions, the gym membership my husband hasn't visited in like 2 years, just an overhaul. And I realized that we can live on my income alone. I can cover all our bills. I mean, this doesn't include vacation and extras and house cleaners, but our shelter and food and heat, like, we will not die and be homeless in the event my husband can't work. And it's been the best, like, most freeing feeling. I have never had this sense of security that I do right now. My anxiety around money and the future is, like, gone. I said to my husband, this is actually a compliment to you because I can leave you at any second. I don't need you, but I'm here because I want you. Like, I like being here. He didn't think it was as flattering as I did. But I have had to do a lot the past decade to get to this point. I had to go to college while having a baby. I've had to work unpaid internships and waitress at night, even when I had a day job. I started the most random side jobs, like blogging for the hospital my husband worked at. I worked at Sephora and a couple other, like, random places for short amount of time. I learned retail is not really where I thrive. I had an Etsy shop, and my favorite was I was an adjunct teacher at the college I went to. I also sold my body parts, donating my eggs. You name it, I was trying to do it. And it's not because I don't have anything else better to do. I just didn't have enough money. And people always say to me, Lauren, you're always so busy. You do so much. You're always on the go. I don't know how you do this with kids. You're always into something, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I have no other fucking choice. Like, that's how I do it. I literally can't buy food if I don't. So yeah, I'm pretty busy. I graduated and I got my first job, like real 9-to-5 job in the field I have a degree in. I was offered $35,000 and I remember thinking that was amazing. We're talking like, I think 2013, or that might be where I graduated, but around that time. So like a whole decade ago, basically. And I remember wanting this job so bad. It was so perfect. 10 minutes from my house, a smaller scaled company, commercial design. I would drop my resume off all the time in person and pester Susan, the front desk lady. I was pretty underqualified, but I really, really wanted to work there and just like start my life. I got the job and I felt like I had arrived to adulthood and now my life will be good and smooth sailing from here. And then came the reality checks in the form of bills, and I learned quickly my office job was not going to be enough. I had kindergarten coming up I had to pay for. At that time, the town I lived in did not provide full time. You had to pay for it. I had my student loans rolling in. I think I was taking home like $400 a week. I had to pause my student loans because I just simply could not cover the costs. And little did I know, by pausing the loans, I was making them grow at alarming rates. I cringe when I think about it. And I'd like to think that I would have done things differently, knowing what I know about loans now. But really, my back was against the wall. Like, I just didn't have enough. I physically could not pay them, and I was already working two jobs. I took out loans when I was 18. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have any knowledge or experience in credit as a teenager. I signed a 13% rate loan, student loan I'm talking about, and that literally meant nothing to me. I would have signed it if it said 30% because I had no idea what that meant. And it's not like I could have found out. I didn't even know enough to Google it or ask about it. The paperwork might as well have been in another language. Like, you just don't know what you don't know. You would think someone in the financial office that, you know, that did all my paperwork with me would say something, but they have a job to do too, and they were just doing it. And even if they did tell me, hey, this is a really bad idea, like, this is what this looks like, my option would be that I can't go to school, and I probably wouldn't have listened to them anyway, really. I felt way too much pressure to go to college. So, strapped with $40,000 in student loans, I had preschool and a car and phone and diapers and formula, and I paid my parents rent because I was living with them, and they would watch my son while I waitressed at night, and everything just, like, was not adding up. I almost felt betrayed, like I was fed this lie, like I just joined an MLM scheme, and I had to figure something out. I couldn't add another job on top of all my other jobs and responsibilities. I needed more money, but I physically had no more time to give. I worked at an architecture firm, and I went to a neighboring firm and applied there for a job that was $50,000 a year. And I was offered the job, but I didn't want to leave the place I was working. I really mean it when I say I wanted to be there. But I had no choice, and I told my boss that I got this offer, I'm going to go. And I felt like they were very surprised. I mean, this person who literally stalked the admin to work there and begged for a chance is now leaving. And I explained my predicament, and they agreed to give me more money and gave me a 3K check to cover my son's kindergarten, which I think about kind of often. They were good guys. So I moved up to 50K. I moved out of my parents' house. That was my first salary jump that I could feel changed my life. I had roommates, which were still my family. I had a partner that we joined finances and split bills, which helped. All seemed on the up and up, but then having a baby, paying for a wedding out of pocket, wanting to buy a house, there was always something that kept me from feeling truly comfortable. There was always something I needed money for. Cars, bills, something with my son. I mean, we made it through. I moved into my home, like we bought a house, and we moved in with $300 cash, like to our name. And that honestly wasn't even a big deal to me because that was just my reality. That was normal to me. I lived that way so long, my brain was like, sick, I have some money. And this way of living is not uncommon. Less than half of the U.S. households, about 4 in 10, said they were able to cover an unexpected $1,000 expense, like a car repair or medical bill, in January of 2022, which means more than half the country would not be able to cover an unexpected $1,000 expense, which I would have fell into that category. I remember taking my first shower in my new home and being in there alone and thinking like, man, I hope I can afford to keep living here. And looking back, I'm like, oh my God, that was so reckless to buy a house when we did. Like, we really had no business doing that. But honestly, if I didn't buy a house then, if I waited until I was comfortable, like the financial experts suggest, and I probably suggest, I don't know if I would be able to ever even buy a house, like especially now. Or maybe I could buy a house now, but I'd be house poor with these like crazy prices and rates. So I'm thankful for my blind optimism in that moment. I also knew I didn't want to rent because we ran into issues with landlords selling their homes and we had to find new places to live. And with a child, that means changing their school, which can frankly be traumatic. So we knew we wanted to see if we could own a home that we couldn't be kicked out of. And I didn't like the idea at first. I didn't want to leave my apartment, but we had to. It was being sold. And I was very nervous about the money it would cost to own a home and future repairs. It was pretty stressful, but I don't know, we were making it work. I became very bitter towards working and my employer and the overall systems set up with school and working. I started to feel so hopeless, like this is just never ending and it doesn't matter how hard I work, I'm still struggling to get ahead. I just felt like I couldn't get my head above water and just live my life and enjoy things that other people seemed like they just got to enjoy as a right with no guilt or worry. And that just didn't feel like the case for me. Everything felt like this uphill battle. And even if I reached the top of the hill, it could all crash under me at any moment. I would go on to switch jobs 2 more times. And every time I have switched jobs, I've gained a minimum of 20 grand increase in pay. Jumping jobs is a quick way to gain more money, in my experience. Typically, when you stay with a job, you get a 3% increase a year. Sometimes 5. I had a job give out 10 before, but I think 3 is the most common, so I'm using that figure. If you are at a job for 10 years and got a 3% raise every year, you're up 30%, 3 times 10. But someone who changed jobs twice in that same time frame, in that same like decade, even if they had no other increases in pay every year, which they probably would, is going to be up at least 40% from switching jobs twice with a 20% increase. Like someone who switches jobs 2 times versus someone who stays in the same place, making a steady increase, they're gonna make more. I'm looking at a Forbes article right now that says people who stay with companies longer than 2 years get paid 50% less over their lifetime, which I think is compelling, but also just not realistic. Or maybe that's just in my field, at least. Switching every 2 years could be such a red flag and make you less hireable, like, in my opinion. Also, I feel like it takes a year to, like, get comfortable and understand and learn the ins and outs. So you would only have, like, 1 year of thriving. And could you even move up? Or would you have to, like, move laterally if you're jumping around that much? I don't really know. I'm not saying this is great advice, but I'm saying there is a case for increasing your income by switching jobs. I had a successful Etsy shop that grew to a point I had to either decide to pursue that full-time or quit, because it got to a point where it wasn't sustainable for me to do both. My life was revolving around it, but there was a month that I made almost $10,000, like, at the height of it. And so I'm a very big proponent of Etsy. It costs nothing to set up, and then it's like 20 cents to create a listing, and you renew that every couple months, but it's probably like $1, I don't know, a year to post something, and you only pay fees on what you sell. It's really low risk in my view, in my opinion, and in my case, it was a really high reward. I want to emphasize, though, it'll be a lot of work, which I didn't mind, but I needed to find a way to make money from home, like from 8 p.m. to midnight was when I was available, and this seemed like a great option because I could work on it after I put my son to bed. I was in many Etsy groups with people who sold candles and tinsels and hats, and they all made over 100K a year. I only got mine to like something, 20-something, 20-ish, 30-ish thousand, but maybe that inspires you to just put whatever you make out there. I mean, there is probably a market for it. And if not, you can learn and adjust to make whatever you're making already more marketable. I also donated my eggs. I know this is very taboo for people and not really an option for everyone, but I donated a couple times, and every time I donated, I made like $7,000, and one of those donations was the down payment on my house, which at that time, we bought our house for less than $300,000, which I don't think is even a thing anymore. Like, even the townhouses next to us are going for more than $300,000. For the past couple years, I've been trying to not only pay off our debt, but avoid accumulating debt, and it's really hard. There was a time when I moved out, and I was looking at my bills, and they were so high, and I was cutting it close every month, and I listed out all my bills and went down the line to cut whatever I could, switch companies to get lower rates on phones or insurance, end subscriptions, cancel the gym membership. And I switched to the gym that got me a discount on swimming lessons for my son. And I realized quick there just wasn't too much I could do because a lot of my payments were debt payments. So much of my income was being taken out due to debt. Like, the input and output were way too close for comfort, so I had to get rid of the output. So I shifted from saving money to getting rid of my debt, which is tricky. Some people find stability in savings. Others find it in getting a bigger buffer every month and eliminating debt. I was comfortable not having a huge savings. I made it in this far in life without one, is kind of what I thought. This is not for everyone, though. And we use the snowball method. I love Dave Ramsey. I feel like I learned a lot from him, and we share similar money thoughts. But I want to note, we most times do not have the same cultural, societal, general life thoughts, as a warning in case you're going to listen to his podcast after this. His method, the snowball method, is you list your debts smallest to largest and put all of your energy and focus into paying off each one, but starting with the smallest one. The idea is when you pay off one, the reward and the result will motivate you to keep doing that, and you'll gain money as you pay off all these loans per month to then put towards your next debt on the list, your next highest. There's another method, which is mathematically better, where you list all your debts by interest rate, largest to smallest, and pay off the highest interest first. That method, I don't think would have worked for me because my largest interest rates were super high student loans, and I would probably still be working on eliminating those before I got to any smaller ones at this point. But getting rid of the smaller ones first gave me more money back a month quicker, if that makes sense. We have no credit card debt, we have no car payments, and we paid off 2 out of 4 of our student loans. We still have our biggest loans left. They are the federal loans that are on pause. While they have been paused, we took a break from our crazy debt paying off way of existing and decided to get some vacations under our belt. But when the loans resume in June, I think that might all come to an end, or at least just slow down. Marriage has some financial benefits too. We could combine insurances. We joined like phone plans, and we almost like on paper went into like one person. We got like, instead of having separate accounts for each of us, like we just shared everything, and I think that helped with cutting costs of our monthly output. Owning a home is another good long-term financial move. I personally think it's a lot more a month than renting between all the added bills and maintenance. But in 10 years, I'll be in my 40s and I won't have to pay for shelter anymore, which is our biggest expense. I'll still have to pay taxes and insurance, although insurance is optional and you don't have a loan anymore, but I will definitely be opting into that. But I feel like not having that expense anymore will set us up for success. Owning a home is not a requirement for financial success by any means, and does not work for everyone for many reasons. And I know people who are way more successful than me, with more money than me, who rent. I am just a stability seeker and don't like risks when it comes to my basic needs, so that's the route I chose. I got a 15-year mortgage, so I'll be paid faster, and I can just keep that mortgage payment every month when I'm in my 40s. I never thought a 15-year mortgage was in the cards for me, but the bank had it printed on the mortgage sheet, like a comparison between 15 and 30, and it wasn't that much more a month. In my head, I figured half the time it would be double the price, but interest is tricky that way. I didn't fully understand it, but like the interest rate on the 15-year was a lot smaller, and we did it during the pandemic when the percentage rates were at an all-time low, so it evened out to kind of not be too much more money. But I also learned that if you pay your mortgage every 2 weeks versus once a month, that will cut down on your overall spending and time of your loan as well. We recently got out of our PMI, which was only like $50. I feel like I heard so many horror stories about PMI, but I don't know, $50 was nothing compared to all our other bills. But with the price of houses rising and the faster payoff time of our mortgage, we got to the 20% of our home being paid off quicker, and the PMI went away. Like, I still wouldn't have a house if I was still waiting to save up 20% to buy the house, you know, to avoid that PMI. Like, to me, taking on that $50 a month payment is worth owning a home sooner. But it's, again, it's like all personal preference. You also have to call and request it to go away, which is annoying to me. I also want to share a link to a house purchasing program where you don't need a down payment, PMI, or closing costs, but you do need to live in your home for the life of the loan. I'm not being paid to say this. This is just a route that I went down, and then we didn't go that route because we were too scared to commit for 30 years, but I will likely be in the home that I'm in for the duration of my 15-year loan, so I probably could have taken that offer, and I just chickened out. I wasn't sure, but knowing what I know now, I think it's a really great program to get people into houses. It's like a first-time home buyer program funded by, I think, the state, but it's called NACA, if you want to Google it, N-A-C-A, and I'll add the link to the show notes in case this might help you get into a home. I learned a fun fact recently that in Islam, interest is illegal and viewed as exploitive. Islamic banking exists to further the socioeconomic goals of their community, which I think is so great, and would love to see a no interest policy adopted here in the US, specifically to students in education, but anyway, it would be good really. Saving for your kids' college is stressful to think about. It's only entered my radar the past couple years. I'm still paying for my own, let alone another person's. I only have 5 years to figure it out, which is scary to think about. I'm hoping to pay off my student loans in 5 years and just take on his in their place. That's my idea for now. We'll see. I'll definitely encourage him to go to college and to go for whatever he wants, but I will also be encouraging him to live at home and commute. And if he does decide to live somewhere else, like out of state, at a college, he'll need a job and he'll need a loan, but we can make a plan for paying it back and help him with expenses and stuff like living at home when he gets back so he can pay the loan back, because we already are in that scenario right now and we're doing all right. So it's a financially feasible option for us. But the thing is, you have to think about it in order to make it less scary. I've learned this used to feel like, it's like his college payments, and it used to feel like something so monstrous to me, I couldn't even think about it. But once I dove in and ran numbers and talked about it with him, with my husband, like confronting it ended up being the thing to get rid of my anxiety about it. And I'm still not really comfortable thinking about it. Even if you can't afford anything, you can help them figure out like what fields pay really good and how much the monthly payback will be for their loan and see where they fall. And then if it's off balance, like mine was, I didn't make enough to cover the payback amount, help them get a job without a degree that's higher paying, like a bank or customer service, and they can save money and then go later on if they so choose. But even if you cannot contribute 1 cent to the college fund, talking to your kids and telling them and planning ahead of time and sifting through the loan paperwork with them, I think is so invaluable. It would have helped me so much, like my younger self. And sometimes I find myself thinking, oh, why did I go to college when I wasn't making enough money to live? But my tune is starting to change as a 35-year-old who now makes enough money to live. It will even out, the debt will go down, and I'll have a higher income, but it's really hard at first, and sometimes it doesn't feel worth it. Sometimes I think I would have preferred to make less and not have this looming debt or payment every month. And I'm not talking about this payment being a couple hundred dollars. My husband and I's bill combined is $1,100 a month. We're not talking about chump change here. But the fact is, you do make more money over the course of your life if you go to college. I was interested in, this is kind of funny, this is like something I discovered and makes me kind of mad. I was interested for a time in being a therapist, and this specific place I wanted to work required a master's. So I researched the cheapest master's program I could find. It was an online school. I think it ended up being like Liberty University. And then I had many phone calls with different people that worked for this state and for these, like, the specific place I wanted to work. And they told me how much the job offers and what I need to get the job and the pay for the job requiring a master's degree and, like, all these other things was $15 an hour, like, in Massachusetts. This was like a couple years ago, so hopefully the pay has gone up, but I could not believe it. So I didn't pursue it, but man, if you decide you want to go back to school to get a higher earning job, you'll have to do your research because these jobs are out here asking for the world and not giving even the bare minimum. And I mean, maybe that's fine if you're a teenager living at home with your parents, but if you're looking to make a switch, you have people depending on you, it might just not be an option. Something I want to mention is shame around money. I feel like this is the main reason I was left in the dark as a teen and made so many not financially great decisions in my transition from teen to adulthood because I didn't have anyone explaining it to me and I never heard anyone talk about it because it wasn't appropriate or people just didn't really talk about it. And I was looking around at like what other people were doing. So I was left to sort of fend for myself. I still struggle with money shame. I always feel such guilt, like I shouldn't be buying things that don't serve a purpose. And mind you, like I have enough to pay for it. And I have a retirement account. And I own a home and I'm not planning on getting another one soon. And then like here I am debating buying a box of blueberries because they are like $5 or like $7 a box. But I follow this money therapist on Instagram. Her name is Lindsay Brian Podvin. And an example of money shame she gives that resonates with me is she says, you might feel money shame when you read advice about how much you should have saved at your age, or when your uncle asks when you're going to stop wasting money on rent, that's in quotes, and buy a house. And according to her, our internal shame can hold us back financially because it prevents us from taking action. If you think that you are inherently flawed or bad at money, you might shy away from looking at your finances to avoid experiencing more negative emotions. For example, if a person struggled to adhere to a spending plan, that's her reframe for the shame-based term budget, they might automatically discount trying to save for retirement. Shame leads us to judge ourselves and compare our financial situation with others, Brian Povin said. She also suggests that when you catch yourself in a moment of shame, like fueled self-talk, she says, quotes, instead of I'm terrible at money because I missed a bill deadline, try, quote, I made a mistake. I'll put my bill on auto pay and set a reminder in the future to be more mindful of my expenses. Focusing on your actions and what you might do differently in the future helps you learn from your mistakes without getting stuck in shame. I see a lot of posts from moms wondering how they can leave or separate their husbands without having money. And all I can tell you is that it can't be a middle of the night decision unless you are not safe. If you are safe, talk to family you could potentially stay with. But if you are safe, you know, you still have to talk to your family that you could potentially stay with, ideally, and talk to them, plan it with them, see what they will require of you for rent. If you do not have family you can stay with, you'll need money for an apartment. If you know that you want to leave, you'll need to become aware of your family's finances. If you are not already, you'll need accounts and access to the money. You are owed half if you're married, so don't feel bad taking it if you need it, but you'll have to come up with money for the long haul. So if your husband works during the day, you can get a waitressing job at night. Waitressing is cash, so you can hide some away if you need to. put some in an account and keep some hidden. Have them just think you are a shitty waitress because you aren't depositing a bunch of money at the end of the night. Then once you have a bit of money to pay for rent, make your move. If you need a day job, get a remote job working from home as a customer service rep. Lots of insurance companies offer this. And hopefully that, you know, staying home can help you with childcare or just giving you more time in general. I needed childcare after school when my oldest was young. The cheapest options I found was the YMCA at the after school program. There are other jobs too, like little side jobs like audiobook narrating, transcribing audio, teaching English in other countries virtually. It doesn't require a degree. But there are these ways to make money, but you'll just need time. But I feel like I made a lot of money waitressing, and it was all cash, and that would probably be the route I might take. And that is the route I did take when I was getting back on my feet. It also gave me food discounts too, so that was pretty sweet too. Another thought I had is to, sorry, I like paused a little earlier because I like had a new thought as I was like thinking something. But another thought I had is to clean houses during the day when the kids are at school, or bring your kids with you, you know, if that's all right with your clients. Our house cleaner would sometimes do that during like school vacations and stuff. You could also babysit and see if you could bring your child with you as well. Some people are open to that, but that would give you a paying job and eliminate childcare. But you're going to need power and choices, and money will be how you get that. I remember a really shitty situation I was in where I was a very new mom. My boobs were still leaking, and I didn't know that was a thing. And they would like stain my bra, and I would wake up and have to like pull my bra off my nipples because they were like stuck together. So gross. But I didn't realize that happened until it was happening. And my other underwear had seen better days. You know, I was postpartum, whatever. So I went to Victoria's Secret and I bought bras and underwear, which are kind of expensive, but I don't know. That's where I always kind of like bought bras and underwear. And I got a call from my then partner, and he was like freaking out about me spending money at Victoria's Secret. And then there was this other time I took money out to pay for parking somewhere. I think it was the beach. This was back in the day when everything wasn't on a card. And he called asking why I was taking out cash, and was it so I couldn't see what I was, he couldn't see what I was buying. And him saying that did prompt me to take extra out all the time because I just felt like the money was hung over my head and everything I bought was put up like in front of a judge and jury. Like, he couldn't see it as my money too. And I ultimately decided that I just needed to get out of that situation, and I decided to start building my life, you know, with no money and living at my parents'. A humbling experience, to say the least. But that experience just made me realize I could not put myself in this position again. Like, I never want to ask anyone or need approval by anyone for what I purchased. And I'm very privileged in that I have a family who could help me get on my feet. That is not something available to everyone. Shout out to my mom and dad. It was hard. My mother and I fight like no one's business. And I was also wild and young and postpartum, like going through a divorce. So it was not an easy time for anyone. But it felt safer than the alternative, which was being a full-time mom, no degree, no job, moving to go live with her husband, stationed out of state. Like, I couldn't bring myself to do it. I just didn't feel safe. I had a full circle moment a couple years ago. I remember I got a ticket for like $200 over a decade ago during that like really hard time in my life. And I was crying and like hyperventilating, like unsure how I was even going to recover from the cost, just being dug deeper into this like darker hole. And then I got a ticket for the same reason 10 years later. Clearly, I didn't learn my lesson. This was during the pandemic, and the ticket this time around, it was like nothing to me. I like kind of laughed it off in a way. I was like chatting with the officer instead of sobbing in his face. The ticket just didn't have the same weight it did 10 years prior. And I started crying this time, not because of the ticket, but because I had realized I had kind of climbed out of this stressful money place I lived for so long. It was the first time I realized, like, hey, I'm getting there. I think this all might be starting to pay off. I try really hard to educate my son on money and values and working. I bought a couple books we would read together. And together is the key word there, because if I just gave him the book and said, read this, it wouldn't happen. He might read it, but he might not retain the information. My favorite book was from Usborne Books called Money for Beginners. You can get it on Amazon for like $15. And I think he understands, and he uses and he spends and saves his money. I don't push it too much because he'll have a job one day, and I figure that will be the biggest lesson for him, and I'll be there to help guide and coach if he's receptive. We'll see. And he does odd job things, like he loves doing lemonade stands and stuff, so hopefully he has a little entrepreneur streak in him. I do feel like my issues with money have definitely affected him. I remember I didn't have money. Like, during those, like, broke times, I would get so worked up about the smallest things. I remember him dumping out a whole thing of body soap in the tub to make a bubble bath, and I lost it. Because although it was probably only a couple dollars, that was, like, a pasta meal. Or, like, the difference between me getting a $35 overdraft charge or not if I had to buy another one. I sometimes like that he is conscious of it, but then there are other times that I'm like, crap, I think I screwed him up. For example, the other day my neighbor brought him to get takeout, and she dropped him off and was like, he was so sweet, he said he would eat, you know, the least expensive thing on the menu. He like said that's what he wanted, and I was like thinking, oh fuck. Like, he's gonna need so much therapy. I feel like people think teaching kids the value of a dollar and importance on money and not wasting things will translate to, like, appreciation or responsibility for kids. But really, the way I'm experiencing it, I think it just turns into, like, a guilt. So I'm trying to not mention costs and money, and I definitely have a better attitude now. I just hope it's not too late to turn it around. My youngest, I think, is going to have a very different version and feel around money. So I'm interested in how the two will differ. The last thing I wanted to mention, if you do not have a 401k, please, please consider getting one. I have had one since I was able to even have one, like, in my brokest of days, because I knew I did not want to get to retirement and be back in the same spot stressing about covering my bills. We put about 10 to 15% of our income into our own separate 401ks, and hopefully, if there's like no zombie apocalypse, we will both retire millionaires, like on our own, separate from each other. And most times, companies will match your contributions up to a certain percentage. You get free money. And I don't even notice it's getting taken out of my check. I never see it. It's out before I get it. Opting into a 401k has made my anxiety about the future drop. Over a third of Americans don't believe they'll ever retire. 60% of Americans plan to rely on Social Security as their main source of income in retirement. You probably have enough time to curb this and give yourself more security and stability. Thinking of the long game can be challenging when you can't really imagining it, but opting into a 401k is the easiest way I think you can start to make a difference in your future, literally today when you get to work. And I hope I didn't come across as this, like, financially perfect person. I go over budget. I just spent an absurd amount of money on a Disney trip. I could always be doing more. Even in my most brokest days, I would still try to like go out with friends and I don't know. It was, I don't want to come off as like this like really perfect planner. We can always be doing more, but it's important to just do something, really. Like, just start in any way. Even if it's just like a Google search. I hope I gave you some good Google prompts. I hope you are going to reach out to your HR about setting up a 401k. I hope you are thinking about what side hustles you can start. I kind of want to make a part two. I feel like there's so much more about money I want to cover, like the psychological effects it has on humans and more facts on poverty. And I don't know. There's just, my brain is like spinning a mile a minute right now. Please share with me any big moves you made that you feel helped your family financially. And if you have any tips or tricks on how to make extra cash from home, if you were ever in a tricky relationship you needed to get out of, what resources helped you? I can share them here with everyone if I make a part two episode. Thanks for letting me join you on your ride to work. I hope you have a great week and make some money. Okay, bye.